This podcast was created on Messy. Create your own show today at messy.fm.
Hello, Orlando City fans. This is your host, Gavin Rushnell, and welcome back to the OC Lions Blog Podcast, a fan's perspective of Orlando City Soccer Club. I am sure we have all seen the news today. James O'Connor has been fired. We lost 5-2 against Chicago. And quick exclaimer, I have been at work all day. I worked 11 to 7 today. It is about 7:45 now. I got home, took a shower, and I'm now starting to record. These are my raw thoughts. So quick disclaimer there. But today I will be having special guest David Valentin on the episode. The Twitter star. He is well known over on Twitter. If you do not know him, you can follow him at DV Orlando. But before we get into that, I want to quickly touch on my new venture. I am now the co-host of the MLS Now podcast. If you don't know, it is a newer podcast out. It's only got about 8 episodes now. And the host's name is David as well. So that can be a little confusing. It is not David Valentin. It is a David who is a fan of DC United. So I am co-hosting alongside him. He invited me onto the show last week, and then we did a show together. He said he was looking for a co-host. I said I was interested. We did another show. It was successful, and we decided to join forces, and now I am the co-host over there. So that is something that I wanted to quickly plug. If you want to follow it, it touches all things MLS, not just Orlando City. So we talked about the playoffs. We talked about Decision Day, and we talked about the season awards, who deserves what award, like Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, New Comeback Player of the Year, Newcomer of the Year, stuff like that. So if you want to go check out that, that will give you a league-wide perspective coming from me, who, if you're listening to this podcast, I assume you support. And yeah, so make sure you do that. And then in terms of today, James O'Connor fired. Let's get straight into it with David.
Hey guys, so as I said before, I would like to introduce and welcome Orlando City Twitter star David Valentin. How you doing, David?
Thank you again for that introduction. I don't know how much of a star I am, but I appreciate that.
you're pretty well known on the Twitter sphere, in my opinion. I'm sure if you talk to any OC Twitter guy and you say the name David Valentin, you're well known. So I'd consider that a star in my book.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
How you doing?
I am shocked. I am doing fine personally, but I am shocked.
Yeah.
At the news today.
Yeah. Crazy news today. What was your initial reaction? Are you happy with the decision? Is this the wrong move by the front office in your opinion? What was your initial reaction 10:15 a.m. this morning?
Well, I have to tell everybody, full disclosure, I already knew this was going to go down. A source, and Gavin, we spoke about this before we started recording, had shared the news with me at the 70th minute of yesterday's game, saying, "Hey, James O'Connor is a done deal here in Orlando." For those that don't know, I actually walked first time in 9 seasons. I walked off the game. I didn't stay for the whole thing. Does that make me less of a fan? I will leave that for the guardians of Orlando City fandom to decide. But I was very upset. So I had a live where I basically explained my reasoning for some of the situations that are going on with the club. And I dropped the bomb. I said, hey, somebody hit my DM. They said that James O'Connor is gone tomorrow. And if it is, so be it. As a fan base, we need to learn that nostalgia is a killer. There's other teams that have come from USL and NASL. And you don't see them holding on to the past as much as we do here. if you look at the situation with Dom Dwyer, it's what got us into a $1.5 million problem, as you can see. So I am all for it if the replacement is going to elevate our game. And my friends, I want you to think about this. In 51 games, James O'Connor only managed to win 11 of them. That is a problem.
Yeah, man, that's unacceptable. Going on your earlier point, I don't think you were the only person who walked out of that game. Not even the only person who walked out of that game for the first time. It was heartbreaking to see what happened. And in my personal opinion, the penalty claim where Benji Michel was shoved down in the box, that kind of broke the team. You know, it really should have been a penalty, and then their mental state just went. We conceded three goals in the next 6 minutes. I'm not here to talk about the game, obviously, but, you know, that's our team has such a fragile mental state. And in my opinion, that's kind of where things went wrong. I mean, we had a good run of games in the summer months. We defeated FC Cincinnati 5-1. Next game, we're at home against LA Galaxy. We create so many chances at that game. If Nani puts the penalty away, we have all the momentum. We probably go on to win that game. The next game, we destroy Montreal 3-0 on the road. We then go into the US Open Cup and beat Memphis and New England back-to-back. I mean, at that time, I even wrote an article saying James O'Connor has turned this team around. Where did all this go wrong, David?
Well, I have to tell you this. Another thing that we have to evaluate when we are looking at James O'Connor's competence with Orlando City is the fact that we have not won a back-to-back game since April of last year. We have not gone on a winning streak. And for those that have no idea what that is, and at least in the United States, we consider that three consecutive games or more where you win the game. In football, in soccer, it's very difficult to do because obviously we have ties. Unlike other sports and leagues in the United States, you have to have a winner at the end of it all. So in MLS, to have a winning streak, it's actually has double value. Therefore, I believe this is what happened. Nicky Budalic, I blame him on everything that our team has suffered because he set us up for failure. Another villain in the story is Phil Rawlings, who decided to fire Adrian Heath, gave Jason Christ a 5-year contract, which means, my friends, we're still paying for this thing. We fired a guy after 18 months, yet we're still paying for him and his staff. So
that's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. So what ends up happening, and so what ends up happening is that James O'Connor comes in as a mixture of nostalgia. Let's save our season ticket renewals. Let's bring the guy in, obviously, to a dumpster fire that I believe very few, if any, coaches are out there would have saved this. And on top of that, we go into a transfer window with no money because our money's tied up to players like Sasha, players like Dom that are underproducing, are costing us a lot of money. And the biggest blunder, which the league has made sure to ridicule us for, is the situation with Will Johnson, where nobody felt that they need to communicate to James Connor that if he plays this guy one more time, it's an automatic signing for the following year.
To be fair, that Will Johnson did turn it around and he has won back his fans. But to your points, absolutely agree. Budalic really screwed us over. Those contracts are insanely terrible. And that's something that a lot of people have come to James O'Connor's defense. A lot of people have been saying, hey, James O'Connor has to deal with $1.1 million earner Sasha Kljestan riding on the bench. He has to deal with Yuri Rosell riding on the bench, who, in my opinion, should be a starter, but he has all this money sitting on the bench. He has Dom Dwyer misfiring, not really growing into the season, just struggling all year. He doesn't have his team, and that's something that a lot of people have defended. James O'Connor has used that as defense for James O'Connor. Do you think that's a valid argument?
Well, certainly, you know, I like James O'Connor as a person, and I can't believe that in 2019 we're still having to, to sort of do this type of disclaimer on podcasts where we have to say, well, our criticism of the players and the coaching staff is never personal. I said it in my last intervention with Orlando Lions Den on their last episode, where I said I have met Joseph Martinez personally. I think he's a nice guy. You know, he's very friendly. As a opponent, obviously he's a total jerk. So my criticism of all these folks is based on the performance on the pitch. He absolutely has nothing to do with them personally. Now, that said, one of the main things that James O'Connor was handed, which I feel is a detriment to his performance here, or was a detriment to his performance here, is the fact that he has three DP spots. And I want the listeners to follow me with this, because this is something that was brought up by Sergio Ruiz Torres, who's the Spanish voice of Orlando City for the last 5 years and was the guest in my podcast last week, where he said that while you have Atlanta, where all three DPs are DP caliber players, where he says they want Petey Martinez, where's the checkbook? $20 million, there you go. They want Barco, $17 million, no problem. Here's $5 million here for your troubles. You know, that type of mentality. In Orlando City, we always had Kaká, Carlos Rivas, who's no longer in the league. He's playing in Israel, in a middle-of-the-table team in the bench. Then you had Brian Roches, who is in Portugal, having some acceptable success, but not to what we needed here at the time. And now we have Nani. And then you have Josue Colman, who is not even making the 18 back in Cerro Porteño, back on loan, disappointing those fans. And then you have Dom Dwyer, who arguably, my friends, arguably we can say that if Dom Dwyer had gone to any other team in MLS, he would have never gotten the deal he got when he came here.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. You know, Dom Dwyer has been poor. He was doing pretty poor. I mean, Sporting KC really pulled a fast one on us. But for me, James O'Connor put us into the position we were in with the DPs we had, with the DP situation, with the player situation, with the contract situation. He put us in a good position to succeed. And then... Sorry, but we shit the bed. You don't go 8 games winless at the end of the season, 1 win in 10. I mean, to be fair, we did have decent results when you look at it as a whole. We tied Minnesota, where we should have won. We tied Toronto, where we should have won. We dominated Atlanta, but we couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. We tied LAFC. They didn't have Carlos Vela. They didn't have most of their team, but we tied LAFC. I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes you can't just blame it on James O'Connor doesn't have his squad. Sometimes you have to blame it on James O'Connor and the squad failed. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, Gavin, I have to tell you, the main situation is James O'Connor was not Luis Musi's guy. And I just got done listening to the interview that he gave Fox 35, where he said that when he came in, he had the option of making the changes immediately because James O'Connor wasn't his guy. Imagine if the fan base would have heard this guy just came out of nowhere and fired a guy that was a successful USL coach, that was a former player. We never gave him a chance. The guy was here for 6 months. And how is that fair to James O'Connor's family, too? Because you got to remember that this, there's kids and there's a wife. There's all that involved, you know, properties and moving stuff. You got to remember that. So he gave him a shot. And I have to commend Luis Muzy for being a man of his word and being a man of honor. He gave James O'Connor a shot. Now, we surrendered 23 points while having the lead this season. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. A championship caliber team in MLS has to have 50 points or more to be a true contender. That is what it's all about. Our best showing in MLS has been 2015, seventh place, 44 points on as an expansion team. That is a travesty. We have actually gone on decline since. So at this point, the fans have to ask themselves, do I want to support this club financially? Do I want to represent this club? Do I want to be part of the membership of this club? Because that's how I view the supporter. I'm a member of an organization where you pay your dues. You are actually paying your ticket. So you are supporting the organization by doing so. So do I want to support to every year end here? And I have said something that I know made a lot of people angry, that the standard of a fan base is an LAFC, is an Atlanta United. Why? Because they win all the time and they accept nothing. If you guys remember, when Atlanta was losing at the beginning of the season, they wanted their coach fired. They were not showing up to games. They were booing. Some people vandalized the card of Joseph Martinez's aunt. That's what a fan base that will take no excuses does. Here in Orlando, we want to picnic with the players. We want to set play dates with them. We want to follow them on social media. And we want to tell them that all we need is effort. Well, effort without results is futile, my friends, because you can be on the wall and scream your guts out and jump until you collapse of exhaustion. But if the player you're cheering on the pitch is not of the caliber to lift silverware, you are doing this for nothing. If you want to sweat and you lose weight, you can get a gym membership. I believe they're as cheap as $10. I want to win. And that's what I want all you guys to know. We have to have a winning mentality. In USL, we were the dominant juggernaut that we were because we had the best players money could buy. While the Dayton Dutch Lions were playing with players that graduated high school, we were fielding our team with former championship and former Premier League players. That's how you're dominant. If you look at Atlanta, moving on to a fourth season, about to break the $100 million transfer fee market, that's what it takes to win. You look at LAFC, you look at Miami right now, that is already making big moves. So are we going to be sandwiched between two ginormous clubs, and we're just going to be the lovable losers? I refuse to accept that place.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the point from Lion's Den, because I actually had that down here in my notes. Luis Muzy, you're absolutely correct. He's not going to put his job on the line for someone he didn't hire. That was an amazing take on the Lion's Den last week on that podcast. I 100% agreed with it, and that's why I'm not surprised this happened. I mean, I feel bad, you know. I feel bad for James O'Connor. I did want him out. I think in my gut I wanted him gone, but I do feel bad for him. But at the end of the day, he was unable to keep us fans happy. The fan base is split right now, David. The fan base is absolutely split. There have been debates. I don't want to say raging, but there have been debates all over Twitter, especially on my timeline. On other people's timelines, there's been plenty of debates going on about what's the right thing to do. was this the right thing to do? Was this not the right thing to do? For me, David, this was the right thing to do. I think it was the perfect time to move on. The rebuild is not complete. Whoever comes in can come in and say, okay, I want these players. I don't want these players. Get them out of the club. Bring the players they want into the club. You know, it's the perfect time to do it. And also, I'm going to be honest, guys, and a lot of people I don't think are going to like to hear this. I think we had a very boring style of play. For me personally, I love watching passing possession football. And it's not always the best way to play, but it's very fun to watch. And this is, for me personally, I thought we were so boring to play. We were always defending. We always sat deep. We allowed teams to get to our attacking third without mm-hmm. any pressure. When I did the first half rewatch a couple weeks ago, and I really want to do it more often, I did the first half rewatch of Houston. And especially in the first half, we sat so deep. They got to the edge of our box so easily. Good teams don't do that. We've had a very bad style of play. We made bad teams look like good teams. The plan of going 1-0 up and defending for the rest of the game, it's nice. It's nice in your head, and maybe it works in USL. I'm sorry, it doesn't work.
Yeah, David, they don't want to hear right? about it. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it, brother. They don't want to hear it. You're dropping knowledge on them. They just want you to tell them everything is okay. And let me interrupt you there for a second, because
no worries.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you how it is. If you don't like me, I already said it. You know, you can block me and don't follow me and do all the nasty things you already done to me. So this is the problem. The problem of the split that you're saying is because the supporter groups, and this is where I'm going to get my enemies. I know supporter groups. You don't follow me yesterday. It's okay. I still love you. The supporter groups have quit working for the supporter. Who's the supporter? The members of the ILF? The members of the Ruckus? No. The supporters are the 25 and a half that gets to that stadium and sit there and support the Lions. That's who your supporter is. So when the supporter leadership, okay, has decided to be the PR muscle of the front office to smooth things out, to prop people up, to extinguish dissident voices, then you have a group that is no longer what it was in the beginning. When I first started following this club way back in 2011, supporter group members outnumbered the rest of us 3-1. There will be no Orlando City without a Ruckus or an ILF. So we have to basically make that very clear. We are here today because of the effort of the supporter groups. But somehow along the way, we have lost our north, and the supporter group has created this environment where we can't say this is not right. So what happens today? We fire James O'Connor, rightfully so, because I want to win, Gavin. That's what I keep saying to anybody that has ears. I want to win. And in order to win, we have to make sacrifices. This fine gentleman is a Lion through and through. He loved the team. He believed in everything. But just like anybody that has been in management, you have to realize that sometimes you have to get the right person for the right job. Otherwise, your product suffers and your customers will go find another source where they can get what they want, which is entertainment, which is winning, which is trophy lifting. If you have seen this, Gavin, we're already losing people to Miami FC, and they have not even signed up a player. Why? Because they see that as hope of a future that does not include losing seasons. So for the supporter groups, what I want to tell them is that we need to stop going to bed with the front office, and we need to start acting like what the supporter group is supposed to be, an advocate for the supporter, and an auditor of the quality of what we see on the pitch. James O'Connor gets fired, and immediately all the social media outlets of the supporter groups are poo-pooing on the decision. You want to win. You booed the players when they lose. You get mad at the signings that we had. You say that you trust Muzzi, but this is the time when that trust is going to be put into the test. So my exhortation to the supporter groups, and with this I give you the microphone, Gavin, is that we need to remember who we are and where do we come from. Because when I close my eyes and I think of the 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, I remember attractive football, fast-paced, counter-attacking, inchy ball. That's what I remember. And unfortunately, under James O'Connor, we play very dull. And this is entertainment. This is not life or death, people. If I want to spend my money and go to the Orlando City, to Orlando City Stadium, to Exploria Stadium, to watch my team, I want thrills. I want fast pace. I want to be entertained. And the reality is that our team was predictable. It was a team that was easy to break down, because all you had to do was score one goal, and we couldn't come back from that.
Yeah, fantastic points there, David. In regards to the supporters groups, you know, I don't really know what is going on with them. I like the idea. I love the idea. We have two groups of very, very, very passionate supporters. They go in the wall. They sing for 90 minutes. I understand their side. They don't want to be silent. In terms of the silent debate, they don't want to be silent for one half. You know, they want to do what they've always done. They want to support the team. That's fine. But when you're shitting on a decision that makes sense, this decision makes sense. We have a home form of 6-8-3. We have more losses at home than wins. People pay their hard-earned money to go watch this team perform. I would much rather miss the playoffs and win 10 or 11 games at home and just lose all our away games. Instead, we go on the road, we get the results we need, we come home and we play like trash. Why do you think attendance numbers have been down these last three seasons? And I know you know why, because we haven't played very attractive football these last three seasons. These fans are not happy. They do not like what they're seeing. And like I said earlier, I do feel bad for James O'Connor. I don't think he was the right man at the right time. We needed someone to take us forward. Look at Mateus Almeida. He took San Jose forward. Look at Bruce Arena. He took New England forward. Of course, he had help from Gustavo Bow, and that's where the player argument comes in. But new managers take teams forward. I'm sorry, but we went backwards on James O'Connor. We were having a very decent start to the season. We got to the U.S. Open Cup semifinal. We looked like we were making progress. And then all of a sudden, we're taking steps backwards in rapid succession. And we get to the end of games. We can't defend. When teams swarm us, they get a goal every time. You get to the 2 seconds before the kickoff ends. It was very predictable. We knew we were going to concede. Fans have been unhappy all season, yet all of a sudden, the coach gets fired and the supporters groups are unhappy. Like, you guys cannot be happy with the fact that we have never beaten Atlanta. You cannot be unhappy. You cannot be happy with the fact that we had 6 wins when you guys are spending tons of money to see this team play boring football. I think that I understand why they want to support the team full blast for 90 minutes. I'm fine with that. I have my side. They have their side. In terms of supporters groups, David, I do not understand why they do not agree with this decision. And it, personally, again, like I said earlier, this was the right decision. This was the right decision.
Well, I can tell you this. A member of a particular supporter group told me that is because of the leadership. There's people that command a lot of respect, and the collectiveness of the group will not move forward unless these people give their blessing. And there was leaders that are no longer with us, that unfortunately will disagree with the direction that the supporter groups have taken. And this is not a cheap shot on them. I love the supporter groups. I have been on the wall before. It is a fact that members of the supporter groups do not want me in their midst. That's something for another day, another podcast, if anybody wants to sit down and listen to that boring story. But the fact is that supporter groups need to get on board. Otherwise, they're going to become irrelevant. They're going to become free cheerleaders, background noise. And our supporter groups are fantastic at holding up the torch in 5 years where a lot of people would have quit. But if you look at the fact that our numbers for renewal are abysmal, our list of people waiting for season tickets is non-existent. Anybody can see that because you go to the stadium and if you don't want to sit in your assigned seat, you can just move. You know that, Gavin. And the problem with all this is that if we lose our relevance in our market, then when Miami comes in, Atlanta already had taken, I for my job, for those that don't know, I travel the whole state of Florida and Georgia. When Orlando City came into the picture, we had fans in Northern Florida. We had fans in Southern Georgia, in coastal Georgia. Those fans are gone because Atlanta wins and Atlanta lifts trophies. And Atlanta has done a great job at creating this atmosphere that if you are a fan of theirs, you are a champion. Look at the attitude, the cockiness, the fans with the 50 followers and the ridiculous championship train names and Atlanta United logo pictures do to us. They come in and they go, we have trophies, you don't. How can you respond to that? You can't. So again, what we need moving forward is for the supporter groups to do what they have done best, which is to elevate our fandom to the stratosphere. We need them to be in this with everyone, because the supporters are not exclusive of the North Stands. We all are supporters. And I am open for anybody in their leadership that wants to reach out to me, for anybody that wants to talk, because I'm not confrontational. I'm not here to call anybody to fight. I want what we all want. It's Orlando City to return to its winning ways. And that's the message I have. And for the members to demand from their leadership to do the same. I know for a fact there's a ton of supporter group members that are not happy with the situation on the pitch and off the pitch. So we have to, as a united city, as one city, we have to come together and demand the best. What's going to happen moving forward, Gavin? I have to, like I told you, I had heard from a reliable source, the one that told me that James O'Connor was going to be fired this morning, was that our future coach already made the trip with Flavio to FCC. That game, we all know the pictures were out there of Flavio's Instagram when he, out of the blue, decides to show up to watch our game on an away game, which that was pretty odd, if you ask me. And today, unfortunately, and I am guilty of that, some misinformation appeared pointing to who the new coach was, and it turned out to be a hoax. And for that, I apologize to the people that follow me, because the person that did it took reliable information and twisted it to meet his purpose, which was to fool everyone. And unfortunately, what that does is that destroys the credibility of podcasters, people that do not get paid to follow this team and to provide content. And so unfortunately that's the situation, but they already have who is going to be our next coach. We have an open blank canvas for that person to work with, and I am told that this is a step up. It's not a lateral move. It's not somebody from MLS. So I, like you, Gavin, I'm hopeful that this is going to take us to the promised land. I want to make playoffs. I want to win. I was here for the trophy lifting. And let me tell you something, it felt great.
Yeah, I mean, to your earlier point, it's for me, it's not only the supporters groups, it's everybody. I think we all need to hold this club to a higher standard if we want to win. You're spot on with that. We as a city need to come together. We need to expect more from this team. And I fully trust Luis Muzy to pull this team forward. Look at the transfers alone. Sebastian Mendez comes on the cheap, has an amazing start to the season. He trailed off to the end. He played a lot of minutes this season. People who are making assumptions on Mendez because he had a poor end to the season, he's 22 years old. He went and played in international football in the middle of the season, came back, and was straight back into the starting lineup. He's going to be a player of the future for us, one that I hope to keep. He brings in Benji Michel, a young player who has been fantastic this season. He brings in Robin Janssen on the cheap, who has helped us. João Moutinho, Juan. He has an amazing track record already of bringing in players who can help this team moving forward who are young. Those are the backing of this team, the backbone of this team moving forward. You have to look at people. I didn't even talk about Nani. He brought Nani in for free. Sorry about that. You look at this team moving forward next year, those players are all going to be here, all of them. The positions we need to fill, I trust him to fill those positions with quality players where, unfortunately, we don't have as much money as in Atlanta, as a LAFC. But he can bring in quality players on the cheap. And so I trust Luis Muzy going forward. You know what else that means? I trust that he's going to bring in the coach to bring us forward. I trust that he's going to bring in a coach who knows what he's doing. And I'm not saying James O'Connor doesn't know what he's doing. He is inexperienced. He comes from USL, where he was very successful with Louisville. And he had a very successful career as a player internationally. I trust Luis Muzy to take this forward, to take us forward. Going forward, how do you see this panning out? How do you see this? Do you think we'll look back on this, David, as this was another inchy decision? Or are we going to look back at this and say, maybe this is a Christ decision where a lot of us are happy that we fired Christ? And one thing also I do want to say is James O'Connor is not inchy. I think we forget about that. James O'Connor is not inchy. We are not going... I don't think James O'Connor is going to go to another club, get time, and take them to the playoffs and be a competitive team. I like James O'Connor. I hope he does, because that would be great to see for him as a person. But I just do not have that faith right now. Whereas with Adrian Heath, we could all see he was going to go somewhere else and be successful. And look what happened. I think a lot of times we forget that. We see that Adrian Heath did it. All of a sudden, James O'Connor's going to do it. We need to give James O'Connor time. What happens if we get to May or June or July next season and we're sitting in 10th place?
Thank you, Gavin. That argument.
How do you see this going forward? I fully trust in Luis Muzy to take this team forward. What do you think about all that?
No, absolutely. I think James O'Connor will land on another job in USL. If you look at the manager for FC Cincinnati, he was fired after making the jump to MLS, and he got another job in USL. I think just like players, sometimes coaches, they hit their ceiling, you know, at a particular level, and perhaps – we don't know, speculation, but perhaps James O'Connor is a fantastic second division coach. And that's maybe what he's all going to be. But the reality for him is that whatever he does in second division, he's going to be successful. And he loves football. He loves this game and this industry, and he's going to do great. That said, moving forward, first of all, we need to get rid of the bad contracts. I think Muzy and, more important, Ricardo Moreira, who I have talked to on several occasions, met him personally. He's the head of recruiting. We have a fantastic scouting network. Louis Neal is part of it. A lot of people remember Louis Neal as a USL player in 2011. And then obviously when he returned in 2015 and then his two seasons with OCB, but he was also a very successful player alongside James O'Connor in Premier and Championship. And he is a legend at DC United for their 2013 Open Cup victory. So, you know, we have a scouting network that is going all over the place. I would like for us to expand our recruiting. That, to me personally, if you ask me my dream list, I think we have a lot of talent that is untapped. MLS is heavy on the South Americans, and that's fine. But we also need to start looking into the second and third divisions of Europe where we can be successful. We need to look at Israel. We need to look at African leagues. If you look, we have always hit home runs with the Africans. An example of that is Mohamed El Mounir. Example of that is Amro Tarek. Who knew that guys that played in the Libyan and Egyptian league were going to be this talented? We got rid of them for whatever reason. I'm not going to debate that right now if it was a bad or good decision. But they are serviceable players where they went. And they were great players here. So we have to look into untapped territory, players that can be good. But right now, I think that we are exhausting the market in Brazil. We're exhausting the market in Argentina, certainly. And what ends up happening is that if you go into bidding wars over players, you may end up overpaying for people that perhaps will not be of quality. The other thing is, once we get free of all this money that we have tied up to underperforming players, we need to make smart signings. We need to move away from signing aging players. We need to move away from signing quote-unquote MLS stars like Dom Dwyer. And I think the fact that we are going to have people in the front office that have no ties to our USL past, it's going to be great, because I think that a lot of the situations that we got ourselves into was because people felt that they were successful in USL and that it was going to translate into MLS, and it hasn't. And proof of that is the decisions of extending these incredibly bad contracts. I wish Nicky Budalik had been the one that negotiated with my employer when I got hired. I probably would be making $200,000 right now and having a no-fire clause for the next 10 years. But the reality of it all, Gavin, is you and I are fans. We don't coach. We don't recruit. We don't scout. We don't manage. So what do? We buy a ticket with the hope that our team is going to do great. All fans do that. Atlanta fans, LAFC fans, Chicago fans, Orlando fans. We all buy the lottery ticket, if you will. The promise that Maybe this year we're going to end up being champions. And in order to get to that level, we need people that are competent. I'm going to let Muzi and Moreira and Flavio and whoever is our new manager make those decisions for me. And I will be pleased with the results, obviously. And they know they cannot screw this up, Gavin. They can't. I want to remind everybody that we along FC Cincinnati and Vancouver were the only three teams that failed to get double digit wins this season. It's our second season where we have not managed to do that. We again, for third season in a row, we failed to meet at least 40 points. We can't continue. We can't keep heading in the same direction. It has not worked. It has failed. So my desire is that our front office, I feel the people are competent and they're going to take us where we need to go. We as supporters, we are free to express ourselves how we want. But at the end of the day, they know best, because their livelihood depends on the success of this team. If they fail, they are gone. You got to remember, people, that players and managers come and go. The supporter always remains.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think we as fans are impatient. I think we are deservedly impatient, and I think our front office understands that we are deservedly impatient. They obviously know that it's now or never. It is next season or this entire club is in massive trouble. They know it. Like I said earlier, I have full faith in them to bring us forward. Now, David, I know you have to run. I know you are on short time. Do you have any final thoughts on the James O'Connor firing today?
Absolutely. I want all of us to thank James O'Connor for his efforts, for his dedication, and for his love for the club. James O'Connor is a lion, and wherever he goes, I will always view him as such. James O'Connor loves this city, loves the supporters, loves the fans, and it is a sad event, but one that had to be done if we want to move forward. We cannot entertain our past, what could have been, would have, should have, could have. We can't do that. So what I would like for everybody to do is to remember that we are a family, and family members fight with each other and say things they don't mean, and they will say things that will hurt each other. But at the end of the day, it does not mean they quit loving each other. So this offseason, we need to go back to be what we used to be, a little purple tribe. That's what made me fall in love with Orlando City. And as I leave you, Gavin, because I have to go record the episode of my podcast, and if I can do a shameless plug,
go ahead.
Tiro de Esquina, that means corner kick in Spanish, is the only Spanish language podcast dedicated to Orlando City. We can be found on all the applications where you usually get your podcasts. We are on Twitter at TIRO_city. And we also have a Facebook page, Tiro de Esquina Podcast. My partner, Kenneth Ortiz, he used to host a podcast called Rueda la Naranja that was dedicated to the Puerto Rico Football Club of NASL. That team went under with the league. He knows what it is to love a team very, very, very much and for it to be ripped away from him. He's a new fan of Orlando City. He has been to 4 games, Gavin, this season, all losses, and he just finally got to see a live goal this past Sunday.
Oh, my Lord.
And he has fallen in love head over heels for this club. And I asked him, what do you think made you fall in love with this team? And he told me, the supporter, the atmosphere, that wall. That's what keeps me coming. And to the fans that perhaps are on the fence, angry at the situation, we got to remember that we have to love our club. We have to be there in the good times and more so in the bad times. But we also can't forget that we have a voice and that we have to voice our opinions. Right or wrong, we have to voice them. And I hope that the front office listens to all the supporters, all the fans, independently where they bought their ticket as we move forward. Last episode, we had Sergio Ruiz Torres, who is the Spanish voice of Orlando City in the radio for the last 5 years. He gave us a lot of good information. So if you know of somebody that speaks Spanish, a family member, including yourself, and you want to add another podcast to your list, I know there's a ton of podcasts already about Orlando City and MLS. Please consider us. Gavin, thank you again for the opportunity to come to your podcast. I'm a faithful listener of you. And I think that you produce great content. And I know that now you have a new venture with MLS Now Podcast and my friend David, and I wish you the best with that. And nothing, my friend. Thank you again for the opportunity. I hopefully what we talked about today goes out as a message to reach to the people to once again unite under our colors, and to remember that it's nothing but purple and gold from now on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And everything you said was well said. I agree with all of it. And just Couldn't have said it better myself. If you want to follow David, you can find him on Twitter at DV Orlando. And obviously, if you are a Spanish speaking, someone who speaks the language Spanish and you want to go check out his podcast, you go over to Tiro de Esquina podcast. And that's where I will leave you guys. It's been a crazy day. It's been a crazy last couple of weeks. And now we move forward to the off season. We have a lot to look forward to in terms of signings and who our head coach is going to be. And there will be plenty of content to come with that. Till next time, guys, this has been Gavin Rushnell and Vamos Orlando.